right. How many of you have a job right now? None of you? Okay, you're kids. But someday you'll have a job, right? Oh, another one. All right. Wisconsin Badgers. Wonderful. Someday you'll have a job, right? And what happens if you get a job and you slack off at your job? You don't do your job or you do it poorly. What's going to happen? You're going to get fired, aren't you? Yeah. What happens if you commit a crime when you're older? Like you murder someone or you steal from a bank. Yeah. You get sent to jail. Yeah. It's kind of like you get fired from society. Oh, you eat jail food. That's probably not good. Yeah. It's kind of like you get fired from society. You get put away someplace where you won't be a problem to anyone. What happens if you get a scholarship to college, but then you never do your homework and you do really bad at school and you get bad grades? Yeah. You know what happens? You flunk out and you lose your scholarship and you might even be kicked out of college. You see, almost everything in this world is based on performance. It's based on what we do, your job, your school, even your freedom in society. If you don't toe the line, if you don't do the things you're supposed to do, you lose. You lose your job, you lose your freedom, you lose your scholarship. But in our text this morning, Jesus is going to talk about how we are sons of God. What happens if you don't clean your room? When your mama tells you to clean your room, what happens? You might get spanked, or you might have to go stay in your room. You get punished, right? Right? What happens if you steal pie or cookies when you're not supposed to? Yeah. You could get sick. That's true. That's true. But you might also get punished. But are your parents going to kick you out of the house? Are they going to tell you to leave and never come back? No. Your parents would never do that. See, this is the one thing in life that isn't based on your works. It's not based on your performance. You will always be your parents' son or daughter. You will always be their child. You will always be welcomed. Even if you steal cookies every day, your parents aren't going to kick you out of the house. And that's what Jesus is talking about in our text. He says, if the Son makes you free, then you will be free indeed. He says that we are children of God. If we are just God's servants, if we are just God's workers, then our place in heaven is based on our work, our performance, just like our job is based on our work or our performance. But because we're sons of God, because he's our father, because we're his children, our place in his house and in his kingdom isn't based on what we do. No matter how many cookies you steal, you don't get kicked out of your house. And no matter how many bad things you do in life, no matter how many sins you commit, you don't get kicked out of heaven. Because Jesus is your Father, and he says, I forgive you. And he welcomes you with love, and he might punish you if you do something really bad. That's true. He might discipline you, just like your parents discipline you. But he's not going to kick you out. Yeah, that's why you apologize and you say sorry, and you know that he forgives you, just like your parents love you and forgive you, no matter what. Yeah. I'm sorry, what? Oh, okay, you're not mean. Oh, good. Good job. Yeah. But even if you are mean, the point is Jesus still loves you and keeps you as his child. And you became his child through baptism. So you always know that you are sons of God and you are free in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's go back to our seats now and sing the next hymn.
Coming from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God that we consider or think about this morning is from John chapter
8, verses 31 to 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house but forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. This is the word of our Lord. Inheritance and heritage in our days are relatively, usually a matter simply of emotion. It doesn't really matter that much who our ancestors were. It might affect the color of our skin or what food we like, but for the most part, we're all Americans, and our culture has changed drastically. And even if we retain bits of culture from our heritage, well, it's not an essential part of our life. In the ancient days, of course, inheritance and heritage was far more important. Who your ancestors were, especially in Israel, dictated whether or not or which pieces of land you owned. And without that knowledge, without that heritage, you probably didn't have much choice other than to be a servant in someone else's household. Because the inheritance, because the heritage was so important in Israel, the other thing that mattered was the legal line of succession, not necessarily the genetic. When we look back at our ancestry, we're always more concerned with the genetic line. But for the Israelites, what mattered was the legal line. And therefore, being adopted was, that was your father. That was far more important than who your genetic father was. In fact, there are instances where the Jews would write out their genealogy and they would say, so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so. And you look back in the history and you realize that, well, that person wasn't actually begotten in the way that we think of it. It wasn't actually the physical son of that other person, but they were the ones who inherited. We have a good example of this in the Sunday school story for next week, the story of Ruth. There we have an example of Ruth marries the son of Elimelech, and then Elimelech and both his sons die without either of his sons producing an heir. And so the man who was to marry Ruth then was supposed to produce an heir for Elimelech because his line had been cut off. And so at least the first son that Ruth bore would be considered legally the son of Elimelech and not the son of the father that actually bore that person. This was to preserve the inheritance of all these different lines. All of this was important. All of this was the way it was because the inheritance was so essential, was really the only thing that matters. And Jesus reminds the Jews in our text that they had forgotten, indeed they had forsaken, the inheritance of their father Abraham. Notice that the Jews whom Jesus is talking to immediately understand that Jesus is talking about spiritual things here, not physical. They respond, "We have never been a slave to anyone." That certainly isn't true from an earthly physical standpoint. They were currently enslaved by Rome. They had been enslaved by Babylon. They had been enslaved in Egypt. They knew that very well. They're not denying that fact. But they understand that Jesus isn't talking about the nation being enslaved. He isn't talking about who their overruler was. He's talking about spiritual enslavement. And they rightly acknowledge that Abraham was set free by the Lord and that they had received that spiritual inheritance from Abraham. The problem was they had forsaken the real inheritance for something that wasn't important. The real inheritance that they had received from Abraham, or that they should have received from Abraham, was the promises of God. Remember what the Lord said to Abraham, "In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." How are all the nations of the earth blessed through Abraham? Because from him came Jesus, the Messiah, who would save all people. That was the inheritance, the word of God, the promises of God. That was the inheritance that they should have received from Abraham, but which they sold, and by selling, sold themselves into slavery and in bondage to the law. They looked to the law and to their own good works to set them free instead of rejoicing in that inheritance. We also have received that inheritance from Abraham, from the apostles, from Luther, passed down from generation to generation, the inheritance of those promises of God that set us free by His grace, as we heard in the scripture reading from Romans, and as I reminded the children in the children's sermon. The heritage that we have received is the knowledge that we are saved by grace alone, that Jesus died for our sins and forgives us our sins. It's a heritage that we receive not because we are German, those of us who are German, or descended from Luther himself, which I'm sure none of us probably are. It's a heritage that we receive not by blood, but by faith. Or it's not those who are born physically of the descendants of Abraham or the apostles or Luther who receive and rejoice in this inheritance, but those who hear the word and rejoice in the message and through faith become the children of God. A servant is only as good as the work that he does. Jesus reminds us that a servant does not abide in the house forever. His position is precarious. No matter how precious or how much he might mean to the members of that household, no matter how much they might respect him, it's based completely on his performance, on his work. You know, you hear stories of people in the days of slavery talking about how such and such a slave was basically a member of the family. I'm sure it's true that some came to love their slaves and their servants, those who didn't have slaves but maybe paid them as servants, as much as a member of the family and thought of them as integral to the position of the family. But even if they were so precious to the family that the family couldn't conceive of life without them, they became that way through their works, didn't they? Through their performance. Based on what they did and did not do. But as we talked about with the children, the position of a son is different. The position of a son or a daughter is not based on anything we do, but simply based on the fact that we are born into the family, and therefore it cannot be taken away from us. Just so, Jesus says, you are born into the family of God through your baptism, through your faith. And because you are born into the family of God, that heritage is yours. That inheritance is yours. The inheritance of eternal life in the kingdom of God, the inheritance of forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, the inheritance of God's word to announce to you this wonderful message. What child ever said to his father, "Father, let me live in your house because I will help you in the field. Or give me my supper because I am a good worker." As children, we know that our Father gives us what we need and provides for us and loves us because we are His children and not because of the work we do. And yet, we often act that way towards God. Even us who have that heritage from Luther, who are taught day after day that we are saved by grace alone, we often act as if the Lord will answer our prayers because of our good works. The Lord will provide for us because of our good works. And such an attitude towards God is an insult. It's not insulting if we do that which is good, but it's insulting if we think that God's love is based on what we do. Again, think of your own children and how sad you would be if they thought that your love for them was based only on them doing what is good. So is God's love for us based on who we are in Jesus Christ and not on our works? This is the truth that the Jews forgot. This is the truth that was forgotten by the church at the time of Luther, that we are sons of God, and as sons of God, the inheritance is ours. Jesus says in our text, the truth will set you free. This is a slogan that is plastered across our society, isn't it? Colleges and libraries and scientists and judges and lawyers will all quote this particular scripture verse, the truth will set you free, as if Jesus is talking about any truth, which is not true. Jesus is talking about one particular truth, the truth that you are forgiven through his death and resurrection. That's the truth that sets us free. The simple truth that we are sinners by itself, that doesn't set us free. The truth of what an atom does or doesn't do, the truth of how the stars work, none of that sets us free. Jesus says the truth, the one and only truth that matters, that through baptism you are the sons of God, that is what sets you free. Mark Twain wrote a book, and the title escapes me right now, but it was about two young children, one born the son of a black slave, born into slavery, and the other born to the master of the house, to a white man, born into freedom. But the two children happened to look very, very similar, very much alike, and the only person who could really tell them apart was the mother, the black mother, the slave. And so when they were still very young, she switched them. And her son grew up as if he was a free man, a free white man, and the son of the white man grew up as if he was a black slave. Until, of course, one day when he found out the truth. In fact, the whole town found out the truth together. And then, all of a sudden, he was free. The truth that he was the son of the free man set him free. Just as the truth that we are the sons of God through baptism, by his grace, sets us free to rejoice. As we're going to hear later today at the Reformation service, to sing a new song to the Lord who set us free. This is the truth. Jesus has made us sons of God through our baptism. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.